The federal government is now just days away from handing down its budget, with the government announcing new funding for fuel resilience and significant cuts to the National Disability Insurance Scheme. It comes in a volatile economic climate, with the crisis in the Middle East fueling inflation across the country. Larissa Waters is a Queensland Senator and Leader of the Greens and joins me now. Larissa Waters, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Sally. Good morning.
What's your response to the government's $10 billion package for fuel storage and resilience? Is this an important investment in your view?
Well, look, we'll take a look at the detail of that, Sally, but I'm still baffled that in a fuel crisis, the federal government hasn't taken the opportunity to make public transport free across the country. Our government was the first to back in this illegal war, and so it has an obligation, I think, to help people out during this fuel crisis. And it could be funding making public transport free for the duration of this fuel crisis to actually help people with the cost of living and also free up fuel supplies for those that desperately need it.
But is public transport not a state issue?
Well, traditionally it is, but the federal government has backed in this war and they should pay to help people who are feeling the pain of it.
I think the other key thing here...
Well, that's right. If you free up fuel in the cities, you can make it available in the regions and where they don't have public transport. Every little bit will help. But importantly, Sally, I think the worst lesson to learn from this fuel crisis is to back in more fossil fuels. I think it's really clear that we need energy independence, and the most reliable and cleanest and cheapest form of energy independence is renewable energy. The sun and the wind don't go through the Strait of Hormuz, do they? So that's where we should be investing to have that clean, affordable, reliable supply in future.
This week, the Reserve Bank has increased interest rates for the third time this year. The RBA Governor Michelle Bullock cautioned that untargeted government stimulus in the budget would complicate the fight against inflation. What do you think the government's approach should be in this period of uncertainty for the economy?
Well, look, it's not people or households causing the inflation spike. It's corporate profiteering on top of this illegal war. So I think when you look at banks making record profits, when you look at supermarket giants making record profits, when oil and gas giants are making bank off this war, and yet one in three big corporations is paying no tax, it's pretty clear that we need a budget that actually makes corporations pay their fair share and looks after ordinary people. The government's got a real choice here with this important budget. Are they going to keep working for big corporations and the ultra wealthy, or are they actually going to work for the Australian people? I think normal Australians will be asking, who is the government working for when they continue to funnel billions into defence and into letting gas exporters off scot-free and people continue to hurt?
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Greens leader, Larissa Waters. Next week's budget is expected to feature changes to capital gains tax, negative gearing and the taxation of trusts under what the government describes as intergenerational fairness. Will the Greens support any changes to capital gains tax and negative gearing regardless of the design? What are your red lines there?
Well, we're going to have a look to see what they bowl up, Sally, but what is really clear is that the time for tinkering has long gone, and you've got massive tax handouts to ultra-wealthy property investors, and we have been calling for them to be scrapped for quite some time. We've run inquiries that have shown that the capital gains tax perk is absolutely turbocharging the housing crisis, and it's mostly supporting the ultra-wealthy. The government actually needs to scrap those tax perks and help ordinary Australians have a roof over their head. Again, who are they working for? Ordinary people or the ultra wealthy?
A group of 13 Australian women and children with family links to former Islamic State fighters are expected to arrive in Australia later today. The Federal Police say some of them will be arrested upon arrival. What's your view about what should happen to this cohort?
Look, I'm pleased that these kids and their mums are coming home. They're Australian citizens, their children and their families. And I think if they've breached any criminal laws, that's what we have a criminal justice system for. But these kids and women are being used as a political football. And I would like to see our government stand up for the rights of our citizens and help these folk reintegrate.
Larissa Waters, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Sally.